From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with The Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today. And before anything else, should you have missed it last night, please go to YouTube.com, search for the words Keith Olbermann's mother Marie, and watch the tribute that Keith gave his mother on last night's Countdown MSNBC broadcast. Chances are you will also get a few links to Keith's interview a couple of years back with Pat Tillman's mother, as I did a few minutes ago. Take a look at that one, too, when you have the chance. But my attention today goes to Keith's piece on his own mom, Marie Olbermann, who died of cancer Saturday night. The piece is one of the reasons I personally believe that media is a better field of endeavor because of Mr. Olbermann's presence in it. Well done, Keith, and my heartfelt sympathy is yours today. Vermont has become the fifth state to legalize gay marriage this morning, and the first to do so with a legislature's vote. The legislature voted to override Republican Governor Jim Douglas's veto of a bill allowing gays and lesbians to marry. The vote was 23-5 to override in the state Senate and 100-49 to override in the House. Under Vermont law, two-thirds of each chamber has to vote to override. The vote came 9 years after Vermont adopted its first in the nation civil unions law. It is now the fifth state to permit same-sex marriage. Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, and Iowa are the others. California's infamous Proposition 8 revoked the right there, hopefully only temporarily. Their approval of gay marriage came from the courts. By the way, is it just me, or might all of these states be granting gay men and lesbians full marriage rights now because nobody else has enough money to buy the really good wedding presents? A Colorado Springs man who narrates the Bible in Spanish on CDs and works in the Spanish broadcasting department of Focus on the Family appeared in court Monday in Golden, Colorado on two felony counts of using the internet to lure a 15-year-old girl for sex, according to the Denver Post. Juan Alberto Avale, 42, was arrested Friday when he drove to Lakewood to meet the girl, who turned out to be an undercover officer, after discussing various sexual acts that he wanted to perform with her, according to the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office. Avale, a native of the Dominican Republic, is listed as the voice narrator artist of the Spanish Reina Valera Biblia, available from the company in a 64-CD set. Avale appeared in court on Monday on two felony charges, criminal attempted sexual assault on a child and internet luring of a child, and is set to be formally charged on Thursday morning, according to Pam Russell, spokesperson for the district attorney's office. His bond was set at $25,000, and he remained in custody on Monday afternoon. The Nuclear Energy Institute and Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America have more in common than being major industry lobby groups. Both have hired former Greenpeace activist turned PR consultant Patrick Moore to deflect environmental and public health criticisms. One of Moore's recent columns, published in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, defended Georgia Power's controversial proposal to finance new nuclear reactors. Another column, published in the Seattle Times and later picked up by the Washington Times, criticized proposals to require the drug industry to safely dispose of unwanted pharmaceuticals. None of the newspapers disclosed that Moore consults for industries directly impacted by the topics he was addressing. Can someone tell me again exactly why they think global warming is a myth? According to a newly published report, the Arctic is treading on thinner ice than ever before. Researchers say that as spring begins, more than 90% of the sea ice in the Arctic is only 1 or 2 years old, which makes it thinner and more vulnerable than at any time in the past 3 decades, according to researchers with NASA and the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado. ICE Data Center scientist Walt Meyer said yesterday, "We're not set up well for summertime. We're in a very precarious situation. Young sea ice in the Arctic often melts in the spring and summer. If it survives for 2 years, then it becomes the type of thick sea ice that is key. But the past 2 years were warm, and there's more young thin ice at the top of the world. In normal winters, thick sea ice, often about 10 feet thick or more, extends from the northern boundaries of Greenland and Canada almost to Russia. This year, the thick ice cap barely penetrates the bullseye of the Arctic Circle. The amount of thick sea ice hit a record wintertime low of just 378,000 square miles this year, down 43% from last year, according to Meyer. The amount of older sea ice that was lost is larger than the state of Texas. A look at recent polls, a Pew Research Center poll shows that President Barack Obama has an 88% approval rating among Democrats and 27% among Republicans. In that same poll, independents give Obama a 57% approval rating, the highest for any president at that same time in his administration since Ronald Reagan. A New York Times CBS News poll has Obama's approval rating overall at 66%, up a few points since February, and approval for Republicans at 31%, the lowest in the 25 years the question has been asked in New York Times CBS News polls. Approval for Democrats, 56%. In that same poll, 2% of respondents think that Barack Obama's administration is to blame for the state of the economy, 33% blame George W. Bush's, 21% blame Wall Street. 63% trust Obama on his decisions on the economy, 20% trust Republicans in Congress, 61% trust Obama on his decisions on national security, 27% trust Republicans in Congress. 57% think that the Democratic Party is more concerned with their lives compared to 22% who think the same about the Republicans, which is also the lowest number for them in 25 years. And 74% think that raising taxes on people making over $250,000 a year is a good idea, with 65% thinking that the tax code needs to be changed so that middle and lower class people pay less taxes while the wealthy pay more. Demographically, 43% of respondents in that poll said they voted for Obama, 25% for McCain, 24% did not vote, 23% of them consider themselves Republicans, 39% Democrats, and 30% Independents, with 23% calling themselves liberal, 39% moderate, and 31% conservative. So much for the Fox News Channel mantra about how Obama does not reflect American values in his administration's policies. The original Beatles catalog of recordings for the Parlophone and Apple labels has been digitally remastered for the first time and will go on sale in CD format on September the 9th, according to an announcement from Apple Records this morning. Of course, the material the band recorded for Polydor Records very early in its career has been on CD for decades now. The release will coincide with the launch of the Beatles Rock Band video game, the quartet's first major leap into the world of digital music. The new collection comprises 12 Beatle albums in stereo with track listings and artwork as originally released in Britain, and the American version of Magical Mystery Tour. This means that the stereo mixes of the Beatles For Sale and A Hard Day's Night albums, two of my personal favorites in the catalog, will finally get an official EMI compact disc release. For the last couple of decades, they've only been available in mono mixes. In addition, the past masters compilations are being compiled as one title, making up 14 titles overall. For the specialist collector, there will also be another boxed set called The Beatles in Mono, which combines all of the Beatles recordings that were mixed for a mono release. The albums were remastered by a team of engineers at EMI's Abbey Road Studios in London over 4 years using up-to-date recording technology alongside vintage studio equipment. Dozens of teachers who got pink slips on Friday and parents who support the teachers will gather in front of Tucson Unified School District headquarters at 1010 East 10th Street at 4:30 p.m. this afternoon. The event will precede a special TUSD governing board meeting at which board members will vote on the layoffs and discuss an early retirement buyout proposal. The meeting starts at 5:30, but the board will go into executive session immediately. The open session is expected to begin at 6 p.m. Tucson Unified School supporters and Voices of Education will hold a joint press conference at 4:30 to discuss the layoff notices and to announce a new pink slip postcard campaign directed at Governor Brewer and the Arizona State Legislature. The press conference will include comments from teachers who have received layoff notices and parents of TUSD students. Leader Ann Eve Peterson says that they will also present facts to dispute State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Horn's recent comments, claiming that there will only be a 2% cut to the education budget, and accusing school districts of overreacting to the budget crisis by issuing layoff notices. Voices for Education is coordinating the Pink Slip postcard campaign, which will ask people to send postcards saying, "Don't pink slip our future," to Governor Jan Brewer and lawmakers. Comedian Stephen Colbert's campaign to have a new room of the International Space Station named after himself took a political turn to the west last night. Colbert went after Representative Gabrielle Giffords, who has a somewhat personal interest in space travel, and knocked the rest of Tucson in the process after calling Giffords Miss Pink Sweater Set. Colbert said that she'll have to be satisfied with representing half of Tucson, not even the good half. He continued, "I'm kidding. There is no good half." I'll remind you that Colbert is a native of Washington, D.C. I'll leave it up to you whether he has sufficient standing to comment on the municipal value of Tucson, Arizona. Here's a strange one. The pilot of a small Cessna 172 aircraft reported stolen from a flight school in Thunder Bay, Ontario, has been captured in Carter County, Missouri. He reportedly stole the aircraft from a Canadian flight school, flew hundreds of miles across the upper Midwest United States, landed on a dirt road near Elsinore in southeastern Missouri late last night, and took off on foot, according to federal officials in both Canada and the U.S. The pilot was identified by the FBI as Adam Leon, 31, a native of Turkey who became a Canadian citizen last year. He was formerly known as Yavuz Berke, although officials did not indicate a reason for the name change. He was taken into custody at an Elsinore grocery store after a brief manhunt, according to Missouri State Police and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. A federal law enforcement source said that the pilot parked the plane under what appeared to be a bridge or culvert, apparently in an attempt to hide it. The plane had been intercepted and tracked by U.S. military aircraft as it flew from Canada into U.S. airspace and meandered southward for several hours before landing. A spokesman for NORAD said that the pilot flew erratically over the course of the afternoon, at times reaching 14,000 feet in altitude, then dropping as low as 3,000 feet. Canadian officials have received some information that the pilot is not a happy individual. Quoting there, the Cessna departed about 3 p.m. from the Thunder Bay area and flew over Lake Superior less than half an hour later, according to NORAD officials. Earlier in the evening, the Wisconsin National Guard had deployed two F-16s of its own in an attempt to get the pilot to establish communications with FAA air traffic controllers. The state capital in Madison, Wisconsin, was evacuated for less than an hour as a precaution. The FBI suspects that serial killers working as long-haul truckers are responsible for the slayings of hundreds of sex workers, hitchhikers, and stranded motorists whose bodies have been dumped near highways over the last three decades. Federal authorities first made the connection about 5 years ago while helping police link a trucker to a series of unsolved killings along Interstate 40 in Oklahoma and several other states. After that, the FBI launched the Highway Serial Killings Initiative to track suspicious slayings and suspect truckers. A computer database maintained by the FBI has grown to include information on more than 500 female crime victims, most of whom were killed and their bodies discarded at truck stops, motels, and other locations along popular trucking routes crisscrossing the United States. The database also has information on scores of truckers who have been charged with killings or rapes committed near highways or who are suspects in such crimes, officials said. Authorities say they do not have statistics on whether driving trucks ranks high on the list of occupations of known serial killers, but the pattern in roadside body dumps and other evidence has prompted many investigators to speculate that the mobility, lack of supervision, and access to potential victims that come with the job make it a good cover for someone inclined to kill. For many of you around the world, this will be the last time that you hear me before the beginning of Pesach, or Passover. So for those of you observing that holiday, I wish you a very happy festival. And finally, one from the email inbox. My old buddy Tom Downs, the Chicago police detective, says of the new podcast, "Very nice, keep them coming. And no sacred cows, not even with this administration." Coming from a Chicago cop, I'll pay particular attention to that last sentence. Thanks, Tom. If you have any material that you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this podcast from. And, of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.